Welcome to this 6-day series hosted by the Krishnamurti Educational Center of Canada, as Ralph said, in which we intend to investigate together the underlying nature of what Krishnamurti simply called what is, which in truth cannot be adequately expressed or shared in words, but is realized within one's own being, which is to say, within you and me. As Ralph indicated, the format for these sessions will be slightly different than the workshop we held recently, in that I will open each meeting with commentary as before, only this time I will primarily be reading Krishnamurti's words for the first 20 minutes or so regarding the topic of the day, with occasional commentary on my own sprinkled in, after which I'll ask if there is anyone here who would like to comment or inquire further into what's been brought out to that point. So these in-between moments of me speaking will be your time to speak, after which we after we run out of things to say, I'll pick up again where I left off and continue to engage with Krishnamurti's teachings in this way as we go along. But please know, whether you speak or not throughout this series is entirely up to you. If you're just here to listen, that's fine too. Before we begin in earnest, however, I again must point out that what we're investigating throughout this series is not knowable from the standpoint of mind. So rather than looking to concepts of mind for answers, which is the typical approach to learning, we instead want to find out if it's possible to allow the truth of what is to spontaneously clarify from within, meaning within you and me. This is a process that we all go through to one degree or another, whether we realize it or not, that can unveil and clarify the truth of what is or not within the body-mind organism we typically think of as you and me. And this process, this way of living, if you will, that in truth never ends, but is always beginning, is what we want to better understand as we look into the problem that attachments to the content of mind create in daily life. So rather than focusing our attention on concepts of mind, trying to find some hidden meaning of words spoken here, looking for answers, let's instead allow the mind to be still and thus rest in awareness as much as possible without judging or analyzing what is said here by anyone, including Krishnamurti. Let's just be present and observant in the here and now and see what shows. Krishnamurti made this same point in this way. I'm quoting him here. It's almost impossible to communicate with each other about the nature of what actually is so, unless both of us have the intention of understanding and going beyond the meaning of words. So as we communicate with each other, it is not to impose upon one another a series of ideas. Ideas which are rooted in mind never bring about a radical transformation of the mind. But if we communicate with each other at the same level, then perhaps an understanding will come into being that is not merely propaganda. But to come to this understanding, one must approach it without seeking. Because in coming upon it unknowingly, there is no effort, no prior experiencing, generating a thought. But there is total denial of all the normal practices of looking to concepts of mind for answers. These talks are not meant to dissuade or persuade anyone in any way. Those are Krishnamurti's words, not mine. But they are intended solely for the purpose of discovering within ourselves the truth of what is actually so. Krishnamurti elaborated further by saying, it has taken centuries upon centuries to build up the symbolical verbal state of mind. So the question is, can this verbal state be wiped away in an instant, immediately? Can a flash of insight and understanding come into being when the mind is very still, when thought is absent, when the mind is not burdened with its noise? A mind that is caught in the net of words cannot understand truth. And again, there is no path to truth. Truth must come to you, and truth comes to you only when the mind and heart are simple and clear, and there is love in your heart. When there is love in your heart, you are a human being without a label, without a country, allowing truth to come into being. When the mind is empty and ceases to create, then truth comes without invitation, as swiftly as the wind. It is there as sudden as sunlight, as pure as the night. But to receive it, the heart must be full and the mind empty. Normally, the mind is full and the heart is empty. So this said, this is me talking now. Let's now take a moment, each in our own way, to allow the mind to be still, so that as we inquire together into the underlying nature of mind, we are resting as much as possible in what Krishnamurti called choiceless awareness, what I call pure awareness, so that as we listen and observe, we might discover in a moment of insight the living truth of what is here, now, that lies beyond the capacity of mind to either see or understand. Let's now listen to Krishnamurti as he sets forth the underlying problem that needs to be understood within ourselves in this way. The world is not something separate from you and me. The world, which is society as a whole, is the relationships we establish between each other. So you and I are the problem, and not what we perceive to be the world. Because the world is a projection of ourselves. So to understand the world, we must understand ourselves. Truth can be discovered by anyone, without the help of an authority, as life is ever present in an instant. And if you find truth of what is and live accordingly, the very living is the finding of it. In truth, there is only the problem. There is no answer. For in the understanding of the problem lies the dissolution of the problem. And the problem is dissolved when psychological suffering comes to an end. What is required is not the cultivation of memory, but freedom from the accumulation process of mind. The whole field of the mind is the result of conflicts and adjustments, of a whole series of acceptances without full comprehension. Therefore, we live in a state of contradiction. Our life is a process of endless struggle. We are unhappy, and we want to be happy. Being violent, we practice the ideal of nonviolence. So there is conflict going on. The mind is a battlefield. We want to be secure, knowing inwardly, deeply, that there is no such thing as security at all. The truth is that we do not want to face the fact that there is no security. Therefore, we are always pursuing security, with the resultant fear of not being secure. To know yourself, there must be the awareness, the alertness of mind, in which there is freedom from all beliefs, from all idealization, because beliefs and ideals only give you a color, perverting true perception. If you want to know what you truly are, you cannot imagine or hold to a belief in something that you are not. If I am greedy, envious, and violent, then merely holding to an ideal of non-greed and non-violence is of little value. The understanding of what you truly are without distortion is the beginning of virtue. And virtue is essential because it brings freedom into being in daily life. When we are aware of ourselves, which means to be aware of the true nature of self, is it not incumbent upon each one of us to better understand the whole movement of living as a way of unveiling the me, the ego, self? The building of self is a complex process that readily is revealed in our relationships with each other and in our daily activities, in the way we talk and react, the way we judge, calculate, and condemn ourselves as well as others. How we are and how we react in relationship reveals the conditioned state of our thinking, which is why it is both valuable and important to be aware of the whole process of our conditioning. It is only through choiceless awareness of what is, from moment to moment, that there is discovery of the timeless, or that which is eternally real. Self-knowledge, as I am using that term, is the discovery from moment to moment of the ways of self, its intentions and pursuits, its thoughts and appetites. And as we begin to understand the ways of self in all its forms and activities from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless comes into being. And the timeless comes into being when the mind is quiet. And the mind is quiet when it is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, or weighing that which appears in consciousness. Only the simple mind understands the real, not the mind that is full of words, information, and knowledge. The mind that analyzes and calculates is not a simple mind. Krishnamurti also pointed out that the mind is conditioned right through. No part of mind is unconditioned. You may think there is a part of you, the watcher, the observer, that is not conditioned. But because this is a thought that is held in memory, this thought is also a part of your conditioning. And any effort one makes to free oneself from conditioning also stems from conditioning and therefore is rooted in mind. So what is it that realizes that the mind is conditioned and that any effort one makes to become unconditioned is still the conditioned mind seeking answers? When you suddenly see a snake and know it to be a cobra, there is immediate, unpremeditated action, is there not? But if you say, I know I am conditioned, has it the same vital significance as your immediate perception of the cobra? Or is it merely a superficial acknowledgement of the fact and not the realization of the fact? Do you see the difference? When I realize the fact that I am conditioned, and the realization of this fact brings immediate clarification, then this shift in perception does not come from conditioned mind. The problem of conditioning persists, however, because we do not understand all the implications and limitations of mind. And because of this, we do not see beyond our own conditioning. So how do we see beyond our own conditioning? Well, here's what Krishnamurti said about this. What is true can only be found from moment to moment. It is not a continuity. But the mind which wants to discover it, being itself the product of time, can only function in the field of time. Therefore, it is incapable of finding what is true. To know the mind must know itself, for there is no I apart from mind. There are no qualities separate from the mind, just as the qualities of the diamond are not separate from the diamond itself. To understand the mind, you must observe how your own mind works. When you know the whole process of it, how it reasons, its desires, motives, ambitions, pursuits, its envy, greed, and fear, then the mind can go beyond itself. And when it does, there is the discovery of something totally new. Self-awareness, which is awareness of the self in action, creates the mirror in which all things are reflected without distortion. Every thought or feeling is thrown, as it were, on the screen of awareness to be observed, and thus better understood. But this process of understanding is blocked or cut off when there is acceptance or condemnation, identification or judgment. But the more the screen is watched and understood, not as a duty or enforced practice, but because pain and sorrow have created an insatiable interest that brings its own discipline, the greater the intensity of pure awareness. And this in turn brings heightened understanding. Recovering addicts know this way well, right? Those are my words, not Kay's. And we We have a recovering addict in our audience here today. So, continuing. Typically, when we watch and listen, the mind immediately reacts to what is seen or heard with its knowledge, its opinions, its conclusions, its past memories. Observe yourself inwardly when you're engaging with others, or even when you are just watching and listening, and you might see that this is so, especially when you are feeling anxious or concerned. And be aware that one can only observe and listen truthfully when the mind is quiet. And in that space, that silence, one might discover that there is an interval between your usual reaction and what is observed or being said. And in that interval, that silence, there is a comprehension that is not of mind, that is not intellectual. And in that interval, if you observe closely without reaction, there might also suddenly come a moment of clarity as choiceless awareness perceives the truth of what is in this moment now. Experiment with this and find out for yourself if this is so. This extraordinary moment of insight or flash of understanding when the mind is still, when thought is absent, when the mind is not burdened with its own noise. So, per Krishnamurti's direction, let's again take a moment and watch the mind in action as it plays on the screen of pure awareness. What's actively playing on the movie screen of mind in this moment now? Is the mind conceptualizing and verbalizing in this moment? Trying to take center stage to figure out what all these words mean? Or is there silence in this moment now? Just watching and observing. And are we perceiving this silence right now? Perception is different than concepts of mind. We can perceive the real. We cannot conceive the real.